Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of the Cancer Horizons podcast. Each week, we'll be hearing from patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, and healthcare professionals to do what CURE does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education.
Kelly Thomas was not expecting to be on this side of the breast cancer experience. Kelly worked in finance, and the company she worked with regularly partnered with the American Cancer Society, or ACS, to raise funds for breast cancer awareness.
Breast cancer has been a part of my life for years before my diagnosis.
Throughout the years, she became a seasoned volunteer for ACS and would collect funds at the financial tent at many breast cancer walks. Despite not having a family history of breast cancer, she remained diligent about self-exams but never noticed anything. Everything changed, though, one December morning in 2017, where she sat down to watch some TV and felt a large lump on her left breast. Kelly, who was then 33, immediately made an appointment to see her gynecologist, who then referred her to get a mammogram. A week later, she was diagnosed with stage 3 triple-negative breast cancer, also known as TNBC. In today's episode of Cancer Horizons, Kelly breaks down her journey from volunteer to patient to advocate. The isolation she felt navigating breast cancer as a younger woman.
I felt like I had an older woman's disease and no one else knew what I was going through.
Starting an Instagram account to promote positive stories of patients living with TNBC.
I'm so honored to where that account has been today and to give so many people hope.
How much treatment for TNBC has changed in the past 4 years?
Last time I met with my oncologist, he even said to me, if you got diagnosed today, your treatment would have changed significantly.
And more.
If you don't mind kind of walking me through your initial experience, how you knew something was maybe wrong, or maybe you just had a routine screening and happened after that.
So the funny part of my story is breast cancer has been a part of my life for years before my diagnosis. I was a part of the American Cancer Society walks. I worked in finance. The company that I was working for was a partner of theirs. And so I worked their financial tent. So anyone that made a donation or dropped off a deposit or whatever, we would make sure we would organize it and have it the next day for the I don't have breast cancer in my family. I don't have any link, genetic mutation, anything that sort of matter. Like everyone else, everyone's doctor told them to always check themselves, and I did. And that's not actually how I found my breast lump. I was sitting on my couch one day, and I just folded my arms, and I was like, hell, that wasn't there the other day, and it was massive. As soon as I felt it, I thought about all the walks that I've done. And it was always such an emotional experience for me, and I was like, I'm one of the ladies now. Even without my diagnosis, my gut was telling me, like, this is not good. This is probably breast cancer. Yeah, I was just 33 years old, sitting on my couch Sunday morning, and it felt like a golf ball was on my left boob. So I immediately called my gynecologist and was like, I feel a lump on my breast, and I make an appointment to see her. That actually took a little bit of time to get into. And I see her and she's like, you know, young women get lumps on their breast times. And so it's definitely something worth looking into. So let me send you for a mammogram. I go for my mammogram and I'll never forget it. I remember walking in and the receptionist being like, you're too young to be here. And, you know, I put the gown on, and, you know, that's when things like really got real for me. I don't have breast cancer in my family. I was like, oh, this is going to be, part of me was like, this is bad. And then the other part of me was like, this is going to be fine because there's nothing to worry about. And then when you put the gown on, it's like, oh, this is like really happening. And the mammographer, it was instantly like something was wrong. And I see her pick up the phone and she's like, the doctor doesn't like what he's looking at. We have to do it again. And during the whole moment of it, I was like holding my tears back because I was like, this is so anxiety provoking and I'm so scared and I'm trying to be really strong. And as soon as she said that, I was just like, I'm just going to let go. And yeah, they sent me across the hall to ultrasound, and they were like, whatever this is, we got it, it has to go. And if it's cancer, don't worry. It's totally treatable these days. And I'm thinking, why are we saying the C word already? He was going to call my gynecologist and wanted to do a biopsy on this thing like the next day.
And I remember when everyone left the room, I took a photo of the ultrasound picture because I knew something was wrong. And I will say, like, I remember, like, I was going on about how they tell you to check your breasts, but nobody tells you to check your armpits. And I remember them taking the wands and going, 1, 2, raise your arm, 3, 4, 5. They saw 5 masses. Yeah, I knew there had to been, there was something there. Like, my intuition was, there's something there. I'm going to take a photo of this image. Actually, it took a really long time to get a cancer diagnosis where they say, like, oh, if it comes back positive, like, you'll know so fast. And it, like, wasn't that way. It took me a whole week to find out that I had stage 3 triple negative breast cancer.
So what was the next step, right? Like, what was your kind of treatment process like?
So my gynecologist was so amazing. Like, I'm walking out the door and she calls me. And she's actually, that was right after the biopsy she called me. Actually, what was kind of funny, I was going through, I had a kidney stone at the time that I had this going on. And it would not leave my body. And I'm a firm believer that my body knew I had breast cancer, and so did my kidney stone. And my kidney stone's like, I'm not leaving your body until you get checked out. And so I was actually in the hospital the day I was supposed to get my results because I was in so much pain from the kidney stone. They actually wheeled me away to see where the kidney stone was, see if it was like going to drop in my bladder or not. And then I come back and I have a missed call from my gynecologist. And she sounds happy. And she's like, hey, Kelly, it's me. You know, call me back. And I was like, all right, cool, awesome. And she's like, breast cancer. You have breast cancer. And she's like, I hope you don't mind, but I set up a appointment for you with a breast surgeon at our hospital, which I was like, how could I be mad about that? Because when you don't have breast cancer in your family, you don't know what to do. Like, I couldn't talk about this with my mom because my mom was just in the dark as I was. We had cancer in our family. Like, we had, like, lung cancer and, like, liver and heart disease. When it came to, like, breast cancer, we were doing this all together. So having that appointment set up for me at my hospital with one of their top breast surgeons was everything.
So did you go through surgery and then subsequent treatment afterward?
I met with the breast surgeon and she told me, you're at least stage 3 at this point. It's really hard sometimes to pinpoint before you do surgery, but she says, judging by all this information, you're at least stage 3. Because I had so many lymph nodes affected, I had about 10 lymph nodes affected, including my armpit and my chest. The biggest size of my tumor was 3.3 centimeters. So for my case of triple negative, as advanced as it was, they do neoadjuvant first. So I did 16 chemotherapies. I did 4 ACEs, Red Devil, Adriamycin, Cytoxins. I did 8 Taxols and 4 Carboplatin. My oncologist is the reason why I'm still here, and he's so amazing. And because of him that he put me on Carboplatin, because at the time, Carboplatin was usually mainly used for BRCA carriers because it responds the best. But at the same time, carboplatin is a metallic-based chemotherapy, and it can be really hard on the body. So a lot of times, only certain type of patients can get it prescribed. And he's like, you're 33 years old, you're young, I think your body can take it. And yeah, so I did that first. And then following that, I did a double mastectomy, which my medical oncologist and my breast surgeon highly recommended from the start. I did delayed breast reconstruction with that. I wasn't a complete response. The tumor was completely gone from my left breast, but in 2 of 8 of my lymph nodes that they pulled, they actually found a different breast cancer. They found a low-grade estrogen. That was really crazy. There was a lot of tears going on in my oncologist's office when that happened, and he explained it to me as your cancer mutates, and cancer's smart and doesn't want to die, and so it knew that the chemotherapy was killing it. And to combat that, it changed its DNA, so it wasn't going to die as fastly with estrogen cancer. But the good part of that is that estrogen cancer, when it grows very slowly. So by the time they found it, it was only 20% of the cancer cell was cancer, so 80% wasn't. So since I didn't have that PCR, pathological complete response, that everybody wants, I had 28 rounds of radiation to my left breast and armpit. And then after that was done, I did 6 months and 8 cycles of a oral chemotherapy called Zoloda.
When was that in, like, all that, like, year-wise? When did you get all that?
So I got my diagnosis January 2018. I started chemo in February 18, finished chemo in July 18, had my surgery in September of 2018. I started radiation in December, finished that in January 2019, and then finished my chemo pills in July 2019. So a year's worth of chemotherapy.
When people think of cancer and they think of treatment, they don't realize how potentially long and daunting it can be. You know, what can you speak to that about, like, it is a marathon pretty much.
And it doesn't end when treatment ends. I am, like, next year I'm going to be 5 years, which is really exciting to say. But like I still have a million doctor's appointments, and I'm constantly, I just added a lung doctor to my team and a cardiologist to my team. I think you have to ride the roller coaster, and there are ups and there are downs, and there's highs and lows, and it is quite a journey. And, you know, even when the ride comes to a complete stop, you're still like a little like uneasy from it. Embracing the journey is important, because you can say, you know, I just want to move past this. I just want to go through this, do my chemos and my surgery, my radiation, whatever I need to do. And I just want to move past this. And I think cancer, no matter what it is, will always be a part of your story. It's such a part of my story. It's not my whole story, but it's definitely a very large part of it.
Talking about treatment, obviously, and kind of what you went through and looking at this space of triple negative disease from your patient perspective, and obviously you're an advocate as well. When you look at the space and where it's come over the past 2 decades and where it potentially needs to go, like, what are your thoughts on that as a whole?
It's completely amazing to me, because last time I met with my oncologist, he even said to me, if you got diagnosed today, your treatment would have changed significantly. And I find it so interesting, like, when I was going through treatment, we did Red Devil, as I like to say. Back in my day, we did Red Devil first. And now they save that for last. I remember Keytruda being in trial, and Keytruda being just for lung cancer. And then Keytruda coming out and being like, oh, this is only for stage 4 triple negative. And now it's like, if you are stage 2 or 3, you're getting Keytruda now. And now they're seeing that Keytruda is helping neoadjuvant treatment so much. And I tell my oncologist, I was like, I kind of have FOMO because I didn't have Keytruda. And so, you know, but at the other side of the coin, I'm so happy to see, like, I did chemo 4 years ago, and it has changed so much. What is treatment for triple negative going to look 4 years from now? And I think it's just going to keep advancing.
Obviously, everything you hope advances. We talk about, like, television, phones, and like the broader scale of things. But when you think of cancer treatment, and like you said, 4 years ago, you went through something and now it's completely different. Like, how fast this space is moving.
Yeah, it's amazing. And think that we are eventually going to take cancer, and although we may not be able to eradicate it, we're going to treat it as like a chronic condition, have less people lose their lives to it, and just be able to control this disease as much as possible.
Kind of looking ahead 4 years from now, what could this be from your perspective? What are you hoping to see for other people out there over the next few years?
Well, one thing that comes to mind is there's a lot of treatments going on, and so exciting to see that. I'm seeing also a lot of more treatments for
BRCA carrier. And I feel like at one point it was like you get diagnosed under the age of 40 with breast cancer, triple negative breast cancer, and you have to go through your genetic testing and you want it to be negative for everything. And having a mutation is always like, oh God, you know, I have something that could give me cancer and grow cancer. I'm susceptible to cancer growing in my body. And now there's like amazing drugs like Lynparza that is for early stage triple negative BRCA carriers as well as metastatic setting. But what makes me feel a little sad about that is that, God willing, my cancer doesn't come back. That's not a drug that I can be on, even though it is helping so many people. I love the direction that cancer is going in. I really hope that there is even more advances for people like me, that I don't have that genetic mutation and there's just even more options. And even those of us that have chemo resistant tumors and cancers, because I think that's the big moneymaker right there. Like, what do you do? Like, we can put all this work into like chemotherapy and just different variations of it. But what happens when your cancer doesn't react to that? Because while I may have triple negative and the next person may have triple negative, we don't have the same tumor. And so our tumors do not act the same. So that's why I always say their story's not your story. When you read a bad story on the internet about someone that had the same exact cancer as you, you can't just put yourself in their shoes, because like fingerprints and DNA, like, we're all different. And I just really hope to see move the needle a little more or a lot more in the next 4 years.
So kind of to talk about wanting to see the needle move and trying to talk to people about like your case is not someone else's case. So in the grand scheme of advocacy, what made you get involved? You know, what do you like about the space?
I've always wanted to be a journalist. I had a zine when I was 16 years old in high school. I wanted to go to school for journalism and work for Rolling Stone magazine. And I interviewed bands, and I was always into speaking my heart and just talking to bands and stuff. And I didn't go in that direction. I actually went into finance. Sometimes you can't follow your dreams because they don't pay the bills. And I get this breast cancer diagnosis. My first reaction was, I am going to document entire journey to show my family and friends what it's like to be 33 years old with a breast cancer diagnosis, because I felt like I had an older woman's disease and no one else knew what I was going through. I mean, I had nobody to talk to, no one to go to. You look up breast cancer online or you look at billboards and it's like older women. And it's like, that's not me. And my experience is going to be different. And then finding out breast cancer isn't just breast cancer. There is different variations. There are different types. And like, it's not cutting dry. So I just shared my story. I leaned into social media heavily in 2018. I actually didn't find a lot of triple negative stories. I actually found a lot of, well, I should say, I didn't find a lot of good triple negative stories. And I didn't find a lot of young women. And so I took that fire and not only shared my story, but in 2019, I started a account on Instagram called TNBC Thrivers. And I actively searched for women with triple negative and breast cancer and those that wanted to share their story. And because I believe that bad news will always travel faster than good news. And if someone that's doing well may not get on their soapbox, when people fall to this disease, you're more likely to hear those stories. And it's like, well, I knew for me when I got that diagnosis, I was a cheerleader on the, you know, on the football team. And I was like, no, there's gotta be good stories out there. They can't be all bad. I'm so honored to where that account has been today and to give so many people hope, because I don't think their story is your story. And to be able to have gone through triple negative and gone through ups and downs, and there was, believe me, there was a lot of downs, and to be reaching my 5-year mark in January in 2023, I'm so excited. And I'm not just happy just for myself, but I'm excited for the person that just gets diagnosed that needs to see that survivor story. And even though triple negative is seen as like the bad breast cancer, there is a lot of women in this space living and thriving and living fruitful lives.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Cancer Horizons podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode, or visit curetoday.com/podcast. The Cancer Horizons podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter @cure_magazine or at Facebook @curemagazine.